So we've been going through the book of James over the last couple of weeks, actually last couple of months now, it feels like, and we'll be into the series right into the fall. So if you haven't heard any of the message, we encourage you to go to our website to get caught up if you're able to do that. Now, I'm not sure about you guys. I really like YouTube. YouTube's got some great videos. And what I appreciate about YouTube, especially for somebody like me, and perhaps you can relate to this, I'm not the most handiest guy in the world. I can do a few things here and there, but YouTube has been super helpful for myself to fix things and figure out a few things as well. I remember a few years back, I was taking out a dishwasher in our home, and I've never taken one out. They're pretty straightforward. However, I thought I'd look up on YouTube, and there's a plethora of videos, as you know, on people that are experts. And I like the videos that are short and concise, get to the point, not all that filler, and just get to the heart of the matter. So I watched a video on how to remove a dishwasher. And it was fantastic. And I watched it over and over again. Actually had my iPad beside me while I was removing the dishwasher, because I'm a little slow and it was really encouraging for me. And the great thing is about YouTube, you can find videos about anything. Matter of fact, you can watch surgical videos and how to do surgery on videos. So next week, I'm actually going to be removing my neighbor's appendix. So I'm excited about that. So as I watched this video, I saw the instruction, and I was able to remove the dishwasher and put a new one in. It was really good. Now, the thing about a YouTube video or any teaching video that we watch, or perhaps even read instruction, if I watched the YouTube video and didn't put it into practice and just kind of did my own thing, I wouldn't be doing what I was told. And it was important for me to follow through on the video to actually put into practice what I was supposed to do. And what's interesting about that, James talks about that as well for us as Christ followers. What do we do as Christ followers? What do we do with the Word of God? And how do we act upon it in our lives? And are we doers of the Word, or are we just hearers of the Word? And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So we'll be in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. The verses will be on the screen, but if you have your device or a Bible with you, just turn there and we'll read together. I'm reading out of the NIV. So James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You know, one of the biggest indictments of the Christian church and for Christians in this world we live in, that we can be merely hearers of the word and not doers of the word. And that's a classic critique that's been around for many, many years. You know, churches and Christ followers, we can give lip service to God's word. However, we don't let it change our actions and our thoughts and how we live our lives. And James is saying to us, it's really important to hear God's word, but it's just important that we become doers as well with God's word. And I know this is probably a similar and a popular passage you've heard before, but it basically sums up the practical side of being a Christian and doing things for the kingdom. And it's an important thing for us to understand and as we think about that, as we live as Christ followers. And last week we talked about how we can humbly accept God's word and how it changes us, and how it can save us as well, because it's the gospel. And James is now telling us now that we must be doers of the word as well. So the question comes up for us as we consider this, why wouldn't we be doers of the word? The word of God tells us to live with action, because the word of God can do what? Change minds, it can change hearts, it can change destinies eternally. And it's an important part of our lives. And if we're not careful, if we're only hearers of the word, we can easily deceive ourselves. We can be deceived very easily. Now, what does that mean for us if we think deception has perhaps crawled into our lives because all we do is hear the word of God, but we don't do anything with it? Because what happens is we can say we believe one thing, but if we don't act upon it, we're deceiving ourselves as well. And James alludes to this again in chapter 1 and verse 8, where he talks about being a double-minded person. Where he talks about, well, if I have faith, but then I doubt, which one do I have? And we need to be careful of that as well, that we don't live with this double-mindedness in our lives. And when we do that, we live out of our doubt and not out of our faith. And so, friends, as we think about this, being a doer of the word, what does that mean for us practically? Now, we can hear God's word every single day, and we should. We should be listening to it. We should be reading it. And we can do all those things that are very, very important to us when it comes to Scripture. However, we need to move beyond the listening part of it all, and we actually need to put it into action. You know, there's a company out there that talks about this. Their logo for their company is called Just Do It. And Nike does that. And it's this idea for us. We should just be doing it. It's practicing the Word of God in our lives. And not just knowing stuff for the sake of knowing it and just upon knowledge. Now, this is James' reminder for all of us. And I think it's a really good reminder. Charles Spurgeon says this: a man's life is always more forcible than his speech. When men take stock of him, they reckon his deeds as dollars and his words as pennies. If his life and doctrine disagree, the mass of onlookers accept his practice and reject his preaching. Think about that for a second. You know, we can listen to the word of God and we can read the Bible, which is very important, obviously. However, if how we live does not line up to what we're reading, many people will be suspect of our faith in Christ. And they'll be asking the question, well, you go to church, you read the Bible, but your faith in your life doesn't live anything according to what you're doing at all. There's a huge disconnect. And I know Christians like that. You know, I've probably lived my life like that in the season of my life. And I know Christians who know Scripture so well, and yet they are the most angriest, arrogant, unapproachable people I know. There's something about them that makes me kind of go, huh, so which one are you? Because the Word of God should change us for humility and not for pride, not into arrogance, not to any of those things. And so as we consider this, here's a couple of questions for us to ask ourselves as well and for you to think through. Am I living faithfully to what we're reading in God's Word? Are we living faithfully towards it? Or are we just reading it, putting on our time for our devotional time as we're asked to do, 20 minutes in the morning, whatever you do, you tick off the box for the day, and then we move on. And then when life happens, how do we respond? How do we respond? Are we learning from the Word of God? Another question for us is our heart being transformed through our time and our study in the Word? Or are we just doing it for knowledge's sake? I have a friend who, good man, and the Lord has been working his heart amazingly over the years. He has this huge book on systematic theology. It's probably this big. I'm not even exaggerating. It's huge. It's deep. It's mind-boggling. Smoke comes out of my ear when I read it because there's so much depth there. And yet when he reads his book, and he's admitted this to me, when he reads those books, he understands the theology, but he doesn't know how to live that theology out in his life. And he would be making decisions that would hurt himself, but also hurt people around him. And there was a disconnect between his heart and his soul. But he knew that book really, really well, including the Scriptures. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we being transformed by the Word of God? And only you can gauge that. And we have to ask ourselves those questions. Am I really being transformed in my heart? In my actions and how I behave privately and publicly? Or is there something different here that I'm living? And we call it hypocrisy, being double-minded. And it's a challenge for us to think through. Now the question is, well, am I growing closer to Christ and in my awe of who he is? Do we have a reverence for Jesus? Do we put our gaze upon him in such a way to recognize that he is holy, that he is good? It's an important question to be asking ourselves, because the word of God will help us do that. But how we live will do that as well. Again, how's your scripture reading impacting your life? And I want to say this and be very clear about this. I have never been the type of pastor or Christian that ever says to someone that they have to get up first thing in the morning to do the Bible reading. Now, it's a great spot to do it, and scripture encourages us to do that in the morning. However, we're all wired differently. And I often say to people, it don't matter to me when you spend time with the Lord, but are you doing it? Because sometimes our devotional life can become legalistic as well. And so we got to ask that question, when do I spend time with Jesus in my day? And whatever that looks like for you, and if it's working and you're feeling drawn to the word and being changed from the inside out, continue that habit, which will become a part of who you are. And for those who struggle with their quiet times, I encourage you to keep doing it. Don't give up. Bite-sized pieces. And eventually it'll become such a part of your life that you'll miss it when you don't do it. Again, how does the word of God and the way we live impact our decisions? What I watch, what we watch, what we read, and what we say with other people? And how is it affecting our relationships with other people as well? That's a really good way to gauge what's going on. We read in verses 23 and 24, it talks about not neglecting the word of God. And I'll read those verses here. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror, for he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what a person he is. So when we hear the word of God, it's like looking in a mirror. Now, I'm not sure about you guys. Mirrors are good, but I don't spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. My moneymaker is just doing fine, so we're good to go. However, as we stare at ourselves in a mirror, maybe you did this morning. You're looking at the mirror and you're looking, whoa, my hair's not out of place, but you know what I'm saying. My hair's out of place. My makeup's maybe not the way it should be. I got some stuff growing out of my nose. Whatever it is, you're looking at this mirror. And this appearance that you see is exactly who you are, right? And what would happen, you take this mirror that you looked at this morning or another time, and you walked away, and you forgot what you look like. Can you imagine that for a second? I don't think that would really happen. It'd be pretty foolish for us to look in a mirror and forget what we look like. That shouldn't happen. It probably wouldn't happen. Now, if I called one of you up here and I put a mirror in front of you, or if I show some pictures of your face on the screen, and we went through them, and then we put the pictures back up there or put the mirror in front of your face and we ask you the question, which one are you? Chances are pretty high you'd remember what you look like, right? You wouldn't forget. But think about that for a second. When we think about that as a mirror in our life, and when we look at a mirror, we don't neglect how we look. We usually try to take care of what we look like as we go into public or whatever the case may be. We want to look a certain way. And the mirror will help us see our flaws, won't it? Our physical flaws. And we immediately will fix those things as well. And that's what mirrors do. Now, mirrors today are much different than they were in the ancient days. Ancient days, they would have highly polished metal, and that would be their mirror. But they would look intently into those mirrors to check out their physical appearance to see what they look like. In many ways, James is saying the same thing to us about the Word of God. That when we look to the Word of God, we should remember what it means and what it stands for. And that we shouldn't forget the Word of God and what it means and what we should be doing with the Word of God. The Word of God changes our hearts. It changes our souls. A mirror looks at the physical attributes of who we are. But the Word of God changes our soul. And obviously, you know which is more important. I hope you're leaning in towards the soul and not the mirror. Because what we look like on the outside is one thing, but what's going on in our spirit? What's happening in our heart? You know, Jesus talked about this. He said the outside of the cup is so clean, but the inside of the cup is dirty. And he's referring to religious leaders and their hearts and their actions and what was really going on in their spirit. And we need to understand that. We need to change from the inside out. And we do that with a heart of repentance, through the heart of the Holy Spirit, as he leads us each day that we live in. So just like a mirror, if we forget what we look like, just like the scriptures, if we listen to its teachings, which is a good thing, but if we don't put them in action, they don't benefit us or anyone else. And we need to change that narrative. It's a small change for many of us, but we're called to do so. James goes on to say in verse 25, he says that we are blessed by doing this. Verse 25 says this, but the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. So he's essentially saying if we take the word of God, we do the word of God in our life, this perfect law, we'll be blessed. Now the Greek word here that translates into look intently to, that talks about this idea of just leaning into the Bible, leaning into the mirror to see exactly who we are. And that's what's referring to this, that we lean right in, that we get right in there, and we see what's going on in our spirit. And that word is parakosis, which simply means to stoop down and to peer in, to have a closer look. And that's what we're called to do. We want to look fully into the Word of God and what it says for our lives. And then we have to put it into action as well. See, many Christians look at scriptures as a burden. Look at reading the Bible as a burden. It's an unwanted task. There's no love for the Word of God. They'd much rather maybe do chores than read the scriptures. And I think over time, as we read the Word of God and we impact it in our life day to day, that desire to be in the Word will quicken. It will grow. It will deepen. But if we've never had a spiritual discipline like being in the Word on a consistent basis in our life, we're not going to miss it. But when we have that and we miss a couple of days, something happens, we miss the joy of God's Word because it changes us. God is the creator of all things, and he's given us our Word, his Word, to put into practice into our lives each day. And we have to ask ourselves the hard question is going, do I just listen or do I do what God's Word says? Are we even listening to God's Word? We need to examine our lives. We need to examine the Word of God and to see if those things match up. Now, obviously, we know full well, none of us in this room, anybody watching online, has it perfect. Or has been perfect in his life. None of us have done that. And none of us ever will be till Christ returns. So let's not live in guilt and condemnation. Let's live with the Spirit that allows us to live a life that is worthy of the call to glorify Christ. Now it talks about this perfect law. We're not talking about the Old Testament law. There's no rituals. We're not bound to any ceremonies or religious practices. This law of Christ gives us freedom. The Old Testament law was burdensome. But the freedom that comes in Christ gives us hope, gives us renewal, it gives us joy. And we need to understand that as well. And we have freedom through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross. He was our substitute for our sin. And that should give us hope. Now, when I talk about freedom, it isn't cheapening God's grace and doing whatever we want and then asking for forgiveness. there's a disconnect there as well. See, I believe if we are in the Word of God and we do the Word of God, we will have so much more freedom from sin. We will hate sin. We will hate it. And we will know that we are dabbling in sin. And we will shut it down or walk away. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that we will flee the other direction when sin comes our way. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intention of heart." Mercy. I hope you heard that. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intention of the heart. Those words should shake us a little bit. They should shake us. See, the effectiveness of our lives and how we live our life and how we put the Word of God in practice makes a huge impact on us and other people. And we have to ask ourselves the question, are we being a doer of the Word? And we need to take that to heart. And we need not to neglect it, because we will be blessed when we are doers of the Word. And as we continue to be doers of the Word, we'll be grateful for Christ's love and sacrifice for us. And it's something we need to understand. Now, we know that there's going to be times in our life where we're going to neglect the Word of God, and it happens. But I want to encourage you to do a couple things. You know, right now in your life, whatever you're facing, how can the Word of God be a direction for you and give you clarity and wisdom? Write down what you're going through and pray through the scriptures of what you're facing. And when you pray through the scriptures, those words will help you put into action things we need to do to protect ourselves as well. We don't want to give up. We need to continue to lean into what the Bible says and how we live in this world. Now, I want to be very clear about this. Doing the Word of God or being a Christian by doing things does not bring us salvation. Let's understand that. The only way to salvation is accepting the free gift we have in Christ. However, we cannot be Sunday school Christians, pew sitters, or in this case, chair sitters, and not practice what the Word of God says. And sometimes what happens is we can deceive ourselves as well by saying, okay, I'm going to just serve in the church. I'm going to serve with my gifts and my abilities, and I'm doing stuff for God's kingdom. But the question remains, too, is where is our heart? If we're just doing for the sake of doing, that's actually a religious way to look at your relationship with Jesus. Because what happens is it lifts us up, and we have this false view of ourselves. We have this unteachable heart. And we're living in pride instead of humility. Because even if we do and do and do and do, it doesn't mean we're actually following Christ. Doing doesn't replace Jesus. But again, we cannot just sit on our hands. And an old saying when I was single, and my friends and I was often talk about, we would pray for our wives and our future spouses and whatnot. And one of my friends would say to me, God's not going to deliver your wife like a pizza to your door. You've got to do something about it. And there's a lot of truth in that. And it's the same thing with our faith, that we are called to do things with our faith in Christ, not to earn salvation. Let me say that again. I know there's religious groups out there that are earning their way to salvation. They go door to door. They hand out brochures. And the reason they do that, that's the only way into heaven, is by doing. There's a group of Jehovah Witnesses set up at the park a couple weeks ago during Lemonade Saturday, and they're handing out brochures. And they're trying to earn their way into heaven. That's their mandate. But we, as Christ followers, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, a free gift for each one of us from Christ, not from us, so no man can boast, but because of Jesus. And yet we balance it out with this idea of being able to do things with the gospel, with the kingdom, and what God has put us in front of us. If we continue just to listen to the word of God and don't take steps to take action, we're going to deceive ourselves. We're going to be comfortable Christians that get puffed up on knowledge, and yet we have no ability to share the gospel with anybody, to serve, because we make it all about me. That is one of the dangers in the church, universal, that has crept in so subtly over the last 50 years, that the gospel is about me. It's not. The gospel is for us, but we're also called to give it away, to give it to other people that need Christ in their lives. That's one part of the doing, is being active in how God has wired us to be. But friends, we can't outdo Jesus. You can't serve in the church and outdo Jesus. You can't give your way into heaven. None of those things, at the end of the day, matter. But we still need to use the Word of God, read it, and put it into action. That includes us as parents. When we tell our kids one thing, do we actually follow through? That's a struggle for all of us. When we talk about encouraging our children, how well do we do that? When we talk about accountability with one another, how well do we do that with love? And it's an important thing to consider. You know, I know there's lots of technology out these days, and one of the best phones in the market was the iPhone X. It's an incredible camera. It can pick up any blemish on your face, any gray hair on your head. It's so perfect. A lot of people have complained it's too good because it shows our physical flaws. And some of us don't like to age. You know, we'll put cucumbers in our eyes, we'll do whatever it takes to look young. But we're all getting older. But are we growing in our faith? And that camera can make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. When you see yourself in a picture, do you often look at a picture if you're in it? Who do you look to first? Whoa. We all look to ourselves first, don't we? And we may not say it out loud. Oh, my smile's crooked. My hair ain't looking so good. Do I really look like that? And that's what the iPhones can do. They can show us our blemishes. And it's exactly what the Bible does. The Bible should and will make us feel uncomfortable. There are things in scriptures I read and I'm like, mercy. I should have stayed in bed today. They should cause us to feel uncomfortable, the Word of God. There's a conviction behind there. And if we're reading the Word of God, and we're not doing it in our life, and we're not being convicted by the Holy Spirit, and we're not being changed from the inside out, we got to ask ourselves some serious questions. Is there sin in my life that's keeping me away to know the blessings of Christ? Do I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior? Am I really saved? Those are big, big questions we have to ask ourselves. We absolutely need to do that. As we think about this, and I'm wrapping up pretty quick, I just want to simply say this. We can know scriptures, and we should, but knowledge is never enough. It's just not. It's absolutely not. And some of us live with that mentality. But we miss the life that's in Christ. And I encourage you to examine your heart, to seek out what James is saying here for us as a reminder that we should be doers of the word, not just hearers, that we should put it into action. And as we continue to do this, things are going to change because there's another ways we can tell if we're being doers. How well do we love our neighbors? How well do we love our family members that drive us crazy? How well do we pray for our lost friends and family? That's being a doer of the word. You're putting it to action. Our true love can also be shown in how Do we live with a heart of repentance, or do we live out of selfishness and greed? That, again, is the Word of God changing us to become less selfish and more giving to people and who we are. How well do we do when we help others that are helpless in this world that we live in, including those in our church? How well do we come alongside people that are hurting and are being thrown into the life that is ripping them apart? How well do we extend forgiveness for those who have sinned against us? That's a tough one. I can tell you story after story of people that have hurt me and my family in the church. And I have done my best through the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive them and to release them to God and to not live with bitterness or anger or vengeance, as we all want. But we leave that to Jesus, and He will deal with all that. And finally, when we read the Scriptures, when we're in the Bible, how well do we invest and develop other Christ followers? When was the last time you discipled someone? When was the last time you went through the Word of God with someone? It's imperative, because it sharpens us, but it's a blessing for others. I've had many opportunities to disciple and mentor people, and I'm so grateful for every single moment. It's such an honor when you get asked. And people often ask me, you know, what can I do to repay you? And I say, do the same thing I did for you to someone else. That's it. And we pay it forward for God's kingdom. That's doing the Word of God. Jesus did the Word of God. He exampled it. He washed people's feet. He encouraged people. He challenged people. And He loved people. And we need to confess and admit today that without the Word of God, without the power of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be able to do any of this, love anyone on our own. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your love and your sacrifice for us. Thank you for the example that you lived on earth. And we thank you for James as well, and the words that he's given us today to remind us about being a listener but also a doer of the word. And I pray, Lord, against the lie that we have to earn our way into heaven with you. I pray, Lord, we'd understand that we live and we are saved by grace and grace alone. And I also pray, Lord, that we would not neglect your word by just listening to it and not doing it. So, Lord, give us the courage and the reflection in our heart to understand how we can be doers of the word and how we love people, how we encourage, how we come alongside, how we pray, how we confess. Lord, I'm so grateful that your word can change us from the inside out. And I pray for all of us that we would not live in the flesh, but we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And for those who have come this morning that are just in a place right now where they are not even understanding your scriptures, or they've fallen away from the Bible, or they have no hunger for it, Lord, I pray a renewal in their hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. That you would illuminate your word in such a way we would see it like we've never seen it before. So, Lord, thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for our lives. And I pray as we reflect even more so on this message that we would be open as you lead us to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name.